When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is The Art of Charm. Learn everything you need to know to crush it in business, love, and life. The Art of Charm is where ordinary guys become extraordinary men.
Welcome to The Art of Charm. I'm Jordan Harbinger. The Art of Charm brings together the best minds in the industry to teach you how to crush it in life, love, and at work. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors teaching you their expertise and packing decades of research, testing, and tough lessons into a concise curriculum. We've created one of the premier lifestyle programs available anywhere, and it's free. This is the show we wish we had a decade ago. Make sure to stay up to date with everything going on here and get some great content and free products and books that we don't or can't share on the show by signing up for the newsletter at theartofcharm.com. The show is about you. We're here to help you become the best you can be in every area of your life. This is a toolbox episode, so this is a fundamentals episode of the Art of Charm Toolbox. If you want to see some of the other interviews or some of the other toolbox episodes that we do, you can go to theartofcharm.com/toolbox, where you'll find other fundamentals like body language, eye contact, vocal tonality, dating, attraction, business networking and negotiation, relationship management, and all that stuff we'd wish we'd learned and mastered years ago. And we have our live programs running every single week here in Los Angeles, California. In fact, we've got guys from Denmark, Brazil, the UK, and the US and Canada here this week. Theartofcharm.com/bootcamp for details on that. Give us a call or even email me, jordan@theartofcharm.com. I read everything, and I'm looking forward to meeting you here at AOC. Today, we're talking about screening and qualifying, bringing the right kind of people into your life, keeping the wrong kind of people out of your life. We're going to talk about types of low-value people. We're going to revisit the value scale a little bit. And, of course, why and how high-value people influence you. And of course, on the other flip side, how low-value people detract from that. So enjoy this Toolbox episode on screening and qualifying with Johnny and AJ, head instructors here at The Art of Charm. You know, one of the things we talk about a lot on the show and at boot camp and things like that is screening people, qualifying people, getting the right people into your life. And we talk about mistakes people make a lot of the time as well, about screening in the wrong kind of people for the wrong reasons. So it makes sense that we would want to do an entire toolbox episode just on this topic.
I don't think people really just understand how their daily decisions and actions are affected by who they have around them and in their life. And I want to paint that picture.
Right. It's like the cliche, at least on our show, of like, you only go as high as your five closest friends. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future, et cetera. We say that, I mean, I feel like this comes up all the time, and yet we very rarely talk about how to actually get the right kind of people.
Well, I want to use this metaphor that I use, analogy that I use in class. And right. So imagine yourself, you're sitting at home, it's Sunday evening, you're watching, you know, Game of Thrones or whatever everyone watches now. Mm-hmm. You got your Cheetos, you're feeling good. A commercial comes on, and all of a sudden, you have this idea of how you can make your company more efficient and more profitable, and you have a Monday morning meeting. So you might start getting pretty fired up of, I'm going to go in there and look like the man. But you realize there's a few kinks in the armor. There's a few ideas, a few things you might need to work out, but overall, it's a solid plan. But then you realize, you start to think, but, you know, Bob's kind of an asshole, and he's probably going to throw me under the bus because it's not fully worked out, and Sheila would definitely like to see me just get destroyed. And so then you start to, and all of a sudden, you realize that everyone, this company you work for, is very cutthroat. Everyone's waiting for somebody to screw up, and all of a sudden, this idea you're all excited about starts to get swept under the rug. And you're right. Like, you know what? It's not worth opening my mouth. And everyone can understand that. But you have to take it outside of that. Think about, you know, here you are with your friends. And you're out at the bar. And the redhead at the corner just checked you out twice. And now you have this opportunity of your body's like saying, hey, I should go over there and check her out. Or I should go, you know, this vacation sounds really rad that I've always wanted to go on. And then you realize, well, you know, Jim's going to tell me that's a stupid idea and she's going to blow me out, or this vacation is just a waste of time. And now all of a sudden, these things that I got so excited about and wanted to do are now getting swept under the rug. And now I'm going to rationalize it with cognitive distortions and the rest of the rationalizations so I can feel good sitting there being quiet.
Okay. So why does this happen?
Well, as I said, we allow in the wrong people. And it's, we're already fighting against ourselves, right? Our programming, nature versus nurture, what we've learned, everything is going, depending on that background, a lot of our regular programming is all based on fear. So the more influences we have backing up those fears, easier it is for us.
The more likely they are to control our lives.
Absolutely.
Okay.
As we talked about in the previous couple episodes in this Toolbox series of meeting new people, you're going to start to broaden your network. You're going to get that third place. And a lot of people now are going to be entering your life. Some people who are good fits, some people who are bad fits. But if you think about the five closest people in your life currently, have you really thought critically about their impact on your life? Because I know for us collectively, we've gone through a few times where we've had to audit our friends and say, okay, this person is adding to my life and I'm excited to be around this person and I'm an amazing version of myself around this person. They bring out the best in me. And then there are those people in our lives where, you know, maybe we are afraid to talk about the things that matter to us. Maybe we haven't shared our future plans and dreams because we know that they're very negative.
Right.
And the more negative people you end up having in your life, the more negative you become.
Well, if we painted that office scenario with you going into work and you know that your office is full of supportive people who are going to be fired up, who understand the better the company does, the better everybody does. They see big picture stuff. Then the few kinks in your idea is going to get massaged out and you're going to rock and roll this. All of a sudden, there's no holding you back. You're going in Monday morning meeting and you're ready to roll.
Right. I can see a lot of people pushing the responsibility off of themselves and being like, well, you know, I can't succeed because I've got all these other people around me that are negative, right? I can't, you know, I would do this, but, you know, then John's just going to be a jerk about it. There's no reason. Why even try? And so we end up not only surrounded by these people, but literally kind of being tied down by them in so many ways.
Yeah. When I bring up peer pressure in class, everyone kind of laughs because they're like, oh, yeah, that was so high school.
High school.
But it doesn't really stop at high school. Your friends are exerting pressure on you every day to do things, to not do things, to act a certain way. And if you look around and your friends are the type of people who don't go out, who aren't social, who when they are out are negative, who look for the worst in people, odds are you're going to find yourself picking up those bad habits. And all of a sudden you're going to have a really negative outlook.
And listen, we all outgrow people and we all have goals. And if those people around you aren't supporting them, then you've outgrown them. Just because you've known Jim for 11 years, it doesn't mean that Jim's right for you as your friend. And that's
and a
probably
lot of
the
times,
hardest thing to
at
say.
Our age, when you trace back the 11 years, you realize that the only reason you and Jim even know each other is because you live down the street. How is that a good criteria
right.
for him having such a strong impact on your thoughts, your beliefs, your actions, your life?
Right. Yeah, because we most of our friends that we make, we grow up with, they're in the cubicle next to us, they're on a sports team with us, they're in our class. That's the usual criteria for the people you spend the most time with is they're friggin' there.
And there's nothing wrong with being in a different place or just growing in a different direction. That happens socially all the time. And I think a lot of times people feel bad about that or beat themselves up over it or why am I so different? And
we've all been there when that one good buddy in your life meets a girl.
Oh yeah.
And what decision does he make then? Does he choose you over the girl
you
or does he go a little selfish,
again.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's time for us to be more selfish with our time and be a heck of a lot more selective than we have been in the past.
Well, we mentioned it in the other episodes where time all of a sudden now becomes the most important thing. And how's that going to be used? And is it going to be used to hold you back or make you happy? And you know, with the old saying that all of us mentioned of your five closest, you know, rise highs of five of your closest friends. A lot of times guys also get that confused monetarily. We're talking about quality
of
life.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. I think, is it confusing it monetarily or does it also make sense that it follows monetarily?
Well, a lot of people feel that monetarily is going to make them happy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that's the measure. Right. But they don't also look at the other confounding factors of just like, are you happy? Are you positive? Right. Are you healthy around this person? Because sometimes that peer pressure can be in a very negative way in terms of drug use and alcohol abuse.
Yeah. No, that's very true. You're right. A lot of times people will say they'll give up their healthy, cool friends that they enjoy being around because they're not rich enough and they think they want the money. So now they're around all these quote unquote high performers and they hate every second of it. Mm-hmm. And yet they're around these five close friends. And meanwhile, you're just kind of all enabling each other's workaholism, et cetera.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's you're just encouraging and backing up each other's fears.
And we do know that a lot of guys, just in general, as we talk about a lot, have trouble making good friends, quality friends, and have somewhat crappy friends in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I always sort of laugh and shake my head at the same time at the guys who come through the program and who haven't even told their friends what's going on, why they're in LA, what they're up to.
Yeah. Yeah, that always kind of makes me a little sad.
You start to realize, like, well, they don't really have that true support where they could be honest and be like, you know what, I want to get my social life handled. I want to be more confident and outgoing in social settings. There should be no embarrassment tied to that, but what that tells me is they haven't been a good selector of people. They've filtered in some of the wrong people who would hammer them over that.
I see it every Wednesday when it comes up and we're going over these behaviors of supplicative, combative, competitive, cooperative, and all of a sudden heads start going down and they realize how much time is being wasted being held back.
Yeah.
And it's my thing about it is that's okay. We're at a place where we're now conscious of it. We're going to get
to
a place.
We can fix it.
We can fix it. But you first
have to admit it.
You need to take responsibility. Need to admit it's going on.
So where do we start with that?
Well, I think a ground floor for that is time spent hanging out with low value people is time taking away from you spending time with high value people or looking for those people. And if you don't make room, well, then there is no room for new people.
Right.
And that has to be done.
Yeah, that's a good point because a lot of people think, well, I'll hang out with these people because I don't know
any high value,
people. But the problem is,
there's a reason why high value people don't want to hang out with you because you embody all those negative traits of your buddies.
Right, and you're hanging out with those people constantly. So you kind of, what do you have to do? You have to like burn the ships, right, and stop hanging out with the negative people, find the high value people.
Definitely, and I hate to say it that way. Burn a ship sounds, Cortez and all, but it's what's going to happen. And high value people don't want to subject themselves, even if they like you, they see your negative influences, that's too close.
Yeah.
They've done all this work to get where they are with their confidence and how they're feeling. They don't want anything to affect that. And I think every one of us understand what it's like when you've changed just your diet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're working really hard and you're working out and you're going on runs. And your buddy's like, you sure you don't want to share this pepperoni pizza with me? You're like, get that thing away from me.
And your buddy strolls in the house with the box open.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're talking about here. You know how quickly you'll fall off your diet. It's the same thing.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. The people who say, hey, let's go out and hang out. And you're like, if I go out with them, I know they're going to want to have 8 beers and stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning. And that can be fine if that's what you're up for. But if you're doing it just because that's your only outlet for social connection, you have a recipe for disaster on your hands.
Well, hell, I mean, a lot of the people that we knew mutually and hung out with way when this podcast started, when we first met, we don't talk to you any longer. We don't we don't keep tabs on any longer because there was a lot of that negative, low value behavior.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people who didn't believe in what we were doing and what we were capable of. So distancing yourself from that and going after what you truly want is incredibly important. This is your life. And you only get one shot.
When we say that all the time. And the price of not understanding this becomes your life. So that's how apparent it becomes. And I just want to preface before we go further is that, you know, I personally believe, and I believe everyone here is the same boat with me, you know, that the human species wants to do good. It's most of us programmed to do good, to want to do good to other people, to want to give. Right? But that doesn't make everyone good.
Right.
It means they would like to, mm-hmm. right? But their behaviors and actions, right, because of fear, or they would rather, they'd rather feel comfortable than knowing that they're helping somebody by being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, most people then are just lazy, and lazy breeds unintelligent and dumb.
And more lazy.
More lazy.
Sure.
So I just want everyone, and those of you guys who are listening to this, what does that make you? That makes you the other part who is looking for ways to take accountability for what's going on in their life to be better. Count yourself in the high
percentage. Well, sometimes it takes a breakup. Sometimes it takes just looking at yourself honestly. But if you really look at your negatives and say, okay, these are the things that I hate about myself. These are the things that I want to work on. And then just look in your network and say, okay, who embodies this? Who brings this out of me? You might find some of these low value people that you can very easily pluck from the garden. Get the weeds out of the garden so the healthy ones can grow. And all of a sudden you're going to find with, you know, four or five less negative people in your life, oh my God, all these positive people, these coworkers are seeking me out. Why? Because you're being positive. You're acting in a different light. And it, for me, it took going through a breakup and realizing that like I wasn't a negative person, but the person I was with, spending majority of my time with, living with, working with, was incredibly negative. And I had some friends tell me after, like, oh, you know, we wanted to say something, but you were in love and she brought that out of you. And then we started to wonder, well, maybe this is how he just is permanently. Maybe he's changed. So it is an extension of those negative things in yourself. A lot of times friends, people close to you, significant others can be pulling them out of you.
Well, I mean, why, and I mentioned this in class, why, if you're not aware of it, why do you have the friends that you have, right? If you haven't been conscious of it and been choosing them, right, the reason that you have them is because you feel that they're on some level just fucked up as you are. Therefore, you feel comfortable hanging out with them.
Right.
And if you haven't been conscious of it, that's what's been happening.
So does it make sense to sort of revisit the value scale here? Because I think a lot of people might be kind of like, okay, high value, low value. Like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first one we're going to talk about is that supplicative behavior. And that supplicative behavior, it basically screams out, please like me. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about value, let's make sure that we clear it up for everybody that it means attention, approval, and acceptance, whether you're giving it or looking for it for yourself. And as human beings, everyone, all of us love attention, approval, and acceptance. It's just how we both go about doing those things or getting those things or giving them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the supplicative person is going about looking for approval, attention, and acceptance through begging for it, acting out to get it in any way possible.
Right. These are the guys that bend over backwards to do things for their friends, but they're doing it because they want other people to like them.
Sure.
Right. The guy who goes and then, of course, that breeds a lot of resentment. We have the whole episode on nice guy syndrome, and we did episodes on value literally like 5+ years ago that are all very in depth on this as well.
And the body language of that is going to be inward. So it's a lot of mumbling, tonality-wise going to be inward, body language closing off, getting smaller, not taking up space, and then looking at other people to help me feel good in this moment.
And what's the next rung on the value ladder?
All right, the next one is combative. And now rather than being inward, all the behaviors and actions, tonality is going outward.
Extremely.
Explosively outward, yeah.
So talking too loud, taking up too much space, and rather than begging for attention, approval, acceptance, you're just going to take
aggressively taking it.
Yeah. In a negative manner that allows others then to walk around you on eggshells.
Right. The overcompensation, the fake alpha douchebag who used to be the supplicative guy and then went no mas and is now the aggro.
The guy at the
face.
Bar around last call, you want to be nowhere near.
Nowhere
right.
Near. Our next one is competitiveness. And it's rather than taking it, or begging for it, this person is just going to be competing for it. And you find yourself in these never-ending episodes of competitiveness. And if you sink down to competing, you've already lost and given up your value.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you don't need to do. And why is that? Well, for whatever reason, in that moment, this person didn't feel that they had any value. They lost it for whatever happened.
They didn't feel appreciated, approved, and they wanted to prove it to you by one-upping you.
Yeah, and guess what? If they end up not winning that competition, they're going to end up being combative.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times competitive people, when they don't get that acknowledgement that they're better,
they
fall into combative.
Ding down on another rung.
It's
yikes.
Not if you can't beat them, join them. It's if you can't beat them, beat them up.
Right, got it. Okay.
And then lastly, we're talking about the cooperative values, which is now rather than begging for attention, approval, acceptance, rather than taking attention, approval, acceptance, or competing for it, you are now going to give it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are the people we want in our life, right? Because now we're mutually escalating quality of life for both people.
Right.
How can I help you out feel good? And how is this person then going to return the favor? And just escalating quality of life, rather. So being supportive, looking for the win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How can we all make the pie bigger rather than going for the biggest slice of pie?
Right. A rising tide lifts all boats, right?
I love that.
Yeah. Excellent.
And those people are far and few between, but they're out there. And if you're exhibiting those behaviors, is the only way that you're going to be able to see those behaviors in other people. And the only reason those people are going to see those behaviors in you and become attracted to that.
Right. Sure.
So we get this a lot, Johnny. I know guys ask, in the cooperative situation where you're constantly giving approval, acceptance, and appreciation and acknowledgement, how do you draw the line where you don't get burned?
Well, I think that line is different for everybody, and it's going to be where you're comfortable with it. You know, Adam Grant in his book mentioned the 5-minute favor. We thought that was a really nice way to go about it. And I know guys who give way more than others who are totally comfortable with that, never ask for anything. We all come from different places. And I think a lot of it comes from, it's going to be your experience, what you're prepared to give and where you draw the line. And that those boundaries are extremely important. I know, you know, at times I can give a lot, and I know at times I'm like, this is the amount you get, and that's what you're getting from the behaviors I saw. Mm-hmm. So, and I think, you know, it also depends on the people that you're dealing with in that moment. And unfortunately, you might sound like there's some opportunity to be taken advantage of, but fortunately, it's a chance for you to meet a lot of great, rad people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather be on that line than on, hey, that guy's just a dick line, and getting shut out because you weren't cooperative enough, or you cut off before anyone was able to see that you can't be a generous person.
Yeah, I think, at least for me personally, I look at, you know, I'm selective with second chances, but I'm always willing to give a first chance. And I do like
Absolutely.
That 5-minute favor concept.
And we can, if you guys are interested in the value scale explained, like really in depth, we did some stuff on this years and years ago, which we might even have to revisit at another point this year. But if you go to theartofcharm.com/value, you can find like a 3-hour episode just on the value scale.
And the behaviors you'll see out with each person.
Right, exactly. So can we make like an identifier list of maybe the low
yes.
value people? Because I think those are the red flags that we need to highlight.
Well, we've all seen them. Right? And I think the first set of people that people need to see and understand, and this, and AJ knows me probably better than
this
anyone.
Is why it's number one on your list.
He knows me. There's one thing that drives me up a wall, and it's people who are not willing to take responsibility for their actions. We all make mistakes. I am the biggest one at making mistakes. I can fuck up like anybody else. But the first thing that I'm going to do to fix it or show that I understand it is take responsibility for it and look for ways that I can fix it. And high value people want other people around them like that. They know that people are not perfect. They just want you to take responsibility for your actions. It's funny. There's a running joke with me and my friends, and AJ's heard it, where a bandmate of mine was late to grab his gear, expected everyone else to do it. And then, you know, when he realized that no one was going to do it, he came to the club and he's like, oh, sorry, my phone died. You knew you were supposed to get your gear. You
yeah.
knew what was going on. That is the lamest excuse that I've ever heard for being late, for not doing what you're supposed to. How about if we were to do this podcast and I didn't show up and I was like, sorry, guys, my phone died. What? I mean, how,
yeah.
you know, no, who could then look at me seriously in this room and say, this is somebody that I want to spend
yeah, you don't value or respect the other people's opinions or time.
Right.
And yeah. that's a big deal with me. So it's, you know, people who take responsibility for their actions, and you know, the first step of that is knowing that people aren't perfect and giving them that room to do that.
So the blamers, we want to avoid the blame game and people who find fault in others.
Absolutely. They're everywhere. And that's a very low value behavior that you'll probably see most common. And the funny thing is you'll see it a lot in your early 20s, but you'll see people in their 40s or still haven't got it together.
Yeah, you're supposed to outgrow that crap big time.
But listen, you do the behaviors that you've learned.
Yeah.
Until you take an Art of Charm program.
Yeah, until you take AOC.
Then you change your behavior.
But especially if people keep letting you get away with it, and mostly if you're letting yourself get away with it.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Next one, you know, when we talk about celebrities and really famous people and the hangers-on that are always around them trying to drag those people down.
And this happens when you actually start to get things moving and you become that social ambassador, and all of a sudden you got your social sales funnel in order and you got some events going your way. You're going to find people who end up checking out where you're at on Facebook and always popping up, constantly hanging out, trying to get into your interactions to meet the people you're talking to.
Well, sure. And now you're outgoing. You have things going on and they're staring at you and they know that, well, he's going to introduce me. It's just like, you know, remember, that's taking your freedom away. That's taking away from you hanging out with people who are going to be introducing you to their people, and vice versa. And once again, mutually escalating everything upward. It's really difficult when everyone's just staring at you saying, make it happen. Make it happen for me tonight. Show me a good time.
Yeah, we had a few of those friends back in Ann Arbor waiting for you to start chatting people up
and then sneak up behind you like, hi, and you're like, dude, this is getting old.
And I can always, like, you can equate it to this. For anyone who might be thinking, I don't really understand what that would be like, right? Imagine you live in a town and an old friend comes to visit, and for a week they're sitting on your couch staring at you to make it happen. Now, you probably got a good 2-3 days of activities in, but by the fourth, fifth day, you're like, get this guy out of here. Wow, imagine that there is no him visiting because they live in your town and they're waiting for you to go out and do whatever.
Fortunately, living in LA, we've had a lot of out-of-town guests.
Oh yeah, I like the ones that just show up on the day and they're like, hey, I'm here in town, let's hang out. Like, you've known you've been coming here for months, and then you just
expect me to give you a 3-day tour of LA
and I gotta drop everything.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And it's like, for me, I'm just like, let me know. I'll try to do something.
I'm envious of those people, though, because it means they just have tons of free time. They don't have anything else going on. It must be kind of nice at some point to be like, I'm going to go travel and then just not do anything for a while. Why would anybody else have a different life?
There you go.
Johnny, we know if you listen to the show, you are driven. In fact, we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast.
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey.
We have hired a lot of team members over the last 17 years. Going through endless resumes, well, that's a time sink. But you know what else is a time sink? Interviewing endless people, because they're all going to give you the best face forward.
That's why we love Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets.
Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast.
And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/charm. Just go to Indeed.com/charm right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/charm. Terms and conditions apply.
Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, back to Johnny and AJ.
I think we go to the next one.
All right.
Yeah, the lazy. And what do we need to explain?
I mean, everyone knows. And the thing about laziness is it's infectious. And then all of a sudden you have a couple friends who are lazy and you're not going out. You're making excuses. All of a sudden things that you have that are important to you in life aren't getting done.
I had a friend in college and he was so annoying. He was so lazy. He would do this thing where he would go, "Hey, Jordan, do you know how to make macaroni and cheese?" And I'd be like, "I am not boiling water for you." You know, I'd be like, "Yeah, you boil the water. The instructions, by the way, are on the back. You boil the water, you throw the noodles in, you strain them, you throw the cheese in there." "I don't know how to work the stove." And I'm like, "I know you play this game with your mom, okay?"
Right.
"But yeah. I'm a grown-ass man, and so are you. This isn't going to work on me." Yeah. And this guy went through relationships. He's a good-looking guy, and he's actually really smart. So he had this thing where he would get girlfriends, and then after a couple of weeks or even a couple of months, if they were particularly slow off the ball, they'd be like, "Yeah, I can't take this anymore." In fact, one relationship came crashing down around him because they were going to move in together. And she had done like all the work moving. And then he showed up and was like, "Can you make dinner? I'm hungry." And she was like, I can't do this. And then she just left. And she went to I know the inside story because she called my girlfriend who she was friends with and was like, "So this is weird, but can I live with you? Because I can't do this anymore."
Well, I mean, that one is, everyone knows that one in their life. Mm-hmm. My favorite is going to be discussing this next guy because you two guys know who I'm about to bring up. The big talkers and braggarts.
Right.
Who are just, they know everything. They can't be told anything. They have no room to grow, no reason to go outside of their comfort zone, and will just continue to just hammer on and run their mouth about everything.
Until their whole life is ruined.
Yeah, I fell into that scenario a little bit here in Hollywood with the couple guys who always knew someone, always had the hot party to go to, and then you get all ready, you meet them up, you show up at the door, and they're not on the list, no one's heard of them, and you're just like, "Oh, not this song and dance again."
And then
they try to act like they're even bigger than that. "How could they not have me on the list? Do you know who I am?" And you're just like, head in your face, their hands on your face, shaking your head.
And you know that you could have had a better time just going to your normal
third place
and hanging out and seeing your buddies.
But here you thought you're going to cut the line, VIP.
And no matter what, you know, it's more exaggeration, more blood.
Oh, but the next time we're going to hang out, I'm going to get bottles. We're not going to wait in any line. You're like, okay.
Yeah. No, it's I definitely remember hanging out with some of those guys when I lived down here and showing up and standing in line for the whole night. And every time I wanted to leave, it's like, "Well, this guy's my ride. No, trust me, he's coming out to get us." It's the most embarrassingly painful thing.
My favorite is when, like, "Don't worry about it. It's the hardest door. We'll get in eventually." You're like, how everyone else seems to who's
strolling right in.
On the list. So, there's no. You don't know anyone, and you're running your mouth, and you're looking for, once again, attention, approval, acceptance. Now you're putting yourself in a spot to look even worse, which you're just going to...
With me.
Yeah.
In tow. And now I look worse.
Yeah, right. And now, next...
Now, the next time I'm in that line, the bouncer's going to laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I remember you.
Well, the other bad thing that's really toxic about big talkers is, like, when they are shown to be full of crap, which they are, they don't just go, "Oh, that's embarrassing." They get angry, angry.
It's everyone else's fault, right? Now they become blamers. It's everyone's fault, but their fault.
It's
the promoter's fault. Right. It's the door guy's a jerk. The management are assholes.
They're just jealous because I have all of this amazing stuff in my life, and I'm clearly so far superior to these other people that they don't like me for that reason. And that must be why. Let's talk about how awesome we are and then get some scotch.
Let's roll the next group, the hypochondriacs. Yes. I have a special one. I have when I first moved to town, there was a girl that I met who just always seemed to have something wrong. And if it was not her problem, it was her rabbit's problem. The rabbit has now a condition.
Her rabbit's got psychosomatic illnesses.
It was, you know.
And these sickness headache posts on Facebook constantly, allergies, something's wrong with them.
Well, it's a cheap attempt to grab sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And to get, once again, to get attention, approval.
"Oh, are you okay? I hope you feel better. Get well."
And it's not only does...
It's the medical equivalent of "I'm so fat."
Well, yeah. Well, then when you understand what's going on and you're like, "I'm not feeding into that," right? Then they can bombard you with, "I thought you were my friend."
Right,
really good friend you are. You know, Brene Brown calls this floodlighting, where I just dump so much trauma on you, and then you throw your hands up like, whoa.
Sorry.
It's all good here. And now I can now guilt you and point the finger at you of why you're not a good friend.
Right. Wow. Floodletting, huh?
Low value.
Of course, we got the drama queens. We've been in kings and queens. We've been talking about this. Catastrophizing. The rest of it that goes with that sort of behavior. And the best thing is, you know, you can see all this stuff through Facebook posts.
Well, yeah. Well, we were laughing about this at lunch with Samim. He had met this girl, and she had already kind of mentioned that, well, her past work, there was some drama. And Johnny and I just right away started shaking our head. And it's like, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
If she's already complaining about drama, you might not be involved now, but that storm's headed your way.
At some point, it's coming. And I've learned that over and over again. And being guys, you're like, yeah, but she's really hot. How bad could it be? Oh, well, you'll find out.
Yeah, you'll find out.
When she's throwing all of your shit out of a third story window
on fire.
Lastly, let's not the non-dreamers or the non-believers.
This for me is like, this is why I didn't like the movie Boyhood. Like that kid in Boyhood,
I have not seen it.
Non-dreamer, non-believer, doesn't really have any sort of motivation, not interested in finding motivation or passion. His whole character development is blah.
Right.
And that's like my worst fear is like a father to have that as a son. Just like you can't find motivation. You can't find any interest. That's it. The non-dreamers, the non-believers, just, everything's meh.
Yeah. How are you going to feel good about where you're going if that's who you got supporting you?
Yeah.
Right. And of course you can't get, and you, whether or not you're getting fired up for your own things, and high value people can also get fired up in the things that their friends got going on. Because that pumps up everybody, right? Let's make a bigger pie than...
Passion, again, is infectious in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And if you have friends who are amplifying your passion and believing in their own dreams and believing in your dreams, you're only going to go farther.
I have a buddy that I used to work with on Wall Street, and he's the most... I mean, when we were on Wall Street, he was the guy who was always like, oh my God, I'm going to get fired. Oh, the business is going down the tubes. He was always catastrophizing. And I recently wrote him because it was his birthday, and I said, hey, man, happy birthday. How's it going? And he said, yeah, not so good. And I was just like, I'm not even going to reply to that because I don't want to. And then, of course, a few days later, he sends me a message. Did you get married? And I said, no, but I bought a house. I've got a girlfriend. And he goes, yeah, I need to get married soon, too. And I go, great. Congratulations on thinking about that. And he goes, well, I'm not even dating right now. And I foolishly said, well, why not? It's sort of the step that comes before marriage. And he just writes back, there's no point. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm done with this conversation. And there's so much of that. There's so much of that. But these are the same people that when you bring your new exciting idea that just needs other people's momentum, support, and fuel, you get, probably won't work. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody buy that? It sounds like a lot of work. You get a lot of that in return. And so this partial list of low value people.
These are the main ones to really keep an eye out for. And they pretty readily present these traits very early on.
Yeah. And if you surround yourself with these folks, then your failure is inevitable.
And
it's right?
Sure, you're going to see them in new people that you're hanging out with because that's easier. But it's the people you're already attached to that you need to be honest with yourself and realize. And here's the best thing. Talk about this person with somebody who actually is high value. And because, listen, it's really hard for when you're attached, when you have those emotions, to separate yourself and look at that. And I know how many times I've had a conversation with AJ where I'm like, listen, I want to make sure I'm not crazy here. So here's the situation. Yeah. And sometimes it's been, yeah, you're totally crazy.
You're crazy, or
you're not crazy at all. What you're seeing is what you're seeing. Like, oh.
Burn the ships.
Burn the ships. And it's hard, but, you know. But you got to be honest with yourself. And if you don't feel that you can be honest with yourself, find that good buddy who you believe is high value.
Ask your family. Ask your siblings.
Yeah,
They'll tell you straight up.
Absolutely.
I think one thing that you guys didn't really mention that might be just as scary as looking at it in your friends and family is looking for it in yourself.
Yeah. Are you a blamer?
Yeah.
A hanger on?
Are you a big talker? Are you lazy? Are you the hypochondriac? Are you the drama queen?
These are roadblocks to you expanding that social circle.
Because if we see this in you and you see this in other people and you don't like it, imagine what happens when you stroll into a group of high-value people.
High-value people are screening you out.
And you're doing it.
You're gone.
And the thing is, even if you think, well, I'm not normally like this, if you just spent the last year or what, however long hanging out with people who do this, you've probably picked up some of those crappy habits. And I know that I've done it because I was hanging out with some people the past couple of years, sometimes even people in this, you know, circle around. And my girlfriend was like, this is, why are you, you know, you sound so different. Like you're complaining a lot about this. And I'm like, ah, I know exactly where this came from.
Well, I know a place where you can find that out. Mm-hmm. Right? You can sit on the couch at AOC and you're going to find out real quick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that the person who inspired a lot of this didn't make it through a program.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. So not only are red flags to look out for, but ways to screen high quality people in your life. Question we get all the time here at AOC. Learn to master this skill set and come through and we'll see it, like you said, right here on the couch. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that. Screening the right people in and keeping the wrong people out of your life is a challenge you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. Remember, you only go as high as your five closest friends. So I hope this was useful for you. Show feedback and guest suggestions. Of course, this is a fanarchy. It's run by you. And we rely on you to help keep our finger on the pulse. So if you know someone who's a good fit for AOC, let us know. I'm Jordan at theartofcharm.com. And if you enjoyed this, don't forget to thank AJ and Johnny or just The Art of Charm. That's me on Twitter. We'll have that linked up in the show notes as well. Our live program bootcamp details at theartofcharm.com/bootcamp. Remember, subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher. Write us a review. I'll love you forever, and so will AJ and Johnny. Special thanks to the Jasons for their help in the production of the Art of Charm podcast. And go ahead and tell your friends, because the greatest compliment you can give us is a referral to someone else, either in person or shared on the web. Now have a great week, and leave everything and everyone better than you found them.
Thanks for listening to The Art of Charm. Get more confidence, relationship skills, life hacks, and everything for the extraordinary man at theartofcharmpodcast.com.